Well, I was thinking of Brother Bill. He's an old friend. I'm sure he's preached here many times. I always enjoyed his letters. He would say, greetings from my dear Joyce. He really appreciated his wife. Thank you, like I do. And we were singing those words. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Bill lived by faith, trusting the Lord Jesus to supply his needs. And he's done that all through. I guess he was 93 years old, something like that, Janet was saying. And he's been a faithful servant. You know, God is faithful. I hope you've proved that. I hope you trust him. I remember when I was pretty young, seeking to serve the Lord, and the doctor, I was apparently sick at the time, and the doctor came. In those days, they used to visit you at home, and he came to see me, and he said, John, are you still involved in that very strange business, preaching? A very precarious profession. Well, he's gone a long time ago. I'm still here by God's grace. And Audrey and I can say, all we have needed, God has provided. I remember one day when I was getting to know Audrey, we were walking along, and I said to her, I hope you know what you're getting into. Imagine marrying a preacher and not knowing, you know, where anything was coming from on earth, but it was coming from heaven. And here we are, nearly 60 years ago that was, and God has been gracious. I hope you are praying too about what's going to happen tomorrow, because we need God's hand in that. And I just hope that God's man will be brought to power. You know, it may not be the man we think should be in power, but remember this, sometimes God allowed men to come to power in Israel and in the surrounding nations who were anything but godly-looking people. But he used them perhaps to discipline his people, to bring them back into fellowship with him. Maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe the Lord's people in Canada need an awakening to bring us back to our dependence on God instead of all this nonsense that's going on. So pray for our country. That's quite in keeping with Scripture. We are told to pray for those who are in authority. So we can do that, can't we? Let's just ask the Lord for his help. Father, we thank you that in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you and are assured of your blessing. Thank you that you have promised to be with us. And we know that when your word is proclaimed, it will accomplish your will. So we just present ourselves to you in all our need and dependence and pray that you will speak to us through the word of God. So we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we've been looking at the story of Elisha. And in the first three sessions, we've talked about how he was called to serve the Lord, how he was willing to go anywhere, anytime, to anyone. And we saw how something small in the hand of God can become very effective. And then, of course, we talked about whether we're going to choose my way or God's way. The story of Naaman. Today, the topic is good news for bad times. Sort of reminds me a little bit of the tale of two cities. You remember Dickens' work. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the springtime of hope and the winter of despair. What a change. But remember the word of Scripture. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. And it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes or leaders. Our hope is in the Lord. Well, the story today is found in 2 Kings chapter 6 and 7. Quite a long story. We won't go into all the details. But it's the story of how the king of Syria invaded Israel. Does that sound a little familiar? There's still that kind of problem today. Now, the Syrians were also called Arameans. So if you read those two things in Scripture, they're the same people. The one, I guess, was their sort of ethnic name, and the other their national name. Ben-Hadad, that sounds a little bit like Assad, doesn't it? Anyway, Ben-Hadad was ready to invade in Israel. Now, at that time, let's get the picture straight, Israel was the northern kingdom. When King Solomon died, you remember there was a division of the kingdom. There was the southern kingdom, known as Judah, and the northern kingdom, known as Samaria. And Samaria was also the name of the capital city of the northern kingdom called Israel at that time. So here he comes from Syria, and it is a desperate time. He besieges the city, and nothing could come in or out, it seems. It's a terrible time to be in a siege, in a place where you can't escape. And of course, slowly, as the months go by, food dwindles and water becomes less available, and people begin to get much thinner. They look haggard, and they're dying. And this was the situation in Samaria. I remember during World War II, the great siege of Stalingrad. It was terrible, terrible time. People were just dying in droves, and the German army was trying its uttermost to destroy that great Russian city, and the Russians held on and on and on, and finally they broke down the power of the Nazi army, drove them away, but it cost thousands of lives. And you can imagine, here in Samaria, things were really bad. In fact, it says in the story, if you read it, that it would cost a fortune to buy a donkey's head to eat. Do you fancy eating a donkey's head? I remember something else in World War II. I was a teenager, and I remember riding home from school, and some days we would sort of go around looking in the various shops to see if there were any extras for sale, and sometimes we would buy a quarter of a pig's head. That doesn't sound too fancy, but we made some good stuff out of it. You see, anything that you could get, you needed, and you were glad to find it. And here they are. And do you know what happened? There were two ladies in this city, and they were so hungry, and the situation was so desperate, that they made a contract. And the deal was, well, we'll eat your son today, and then we'll eat my son tomorrow. The trouble was, of course, that the one son was boiled and eaten, if you can imagine it, cannibalism. And the other woman hid her child. And it happened to be just at the time when the king, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, was walking round the city walls, surveying what was going on, looking at all the terrible things happening. And the women called out to him and they said, help us. And he said, woman, how can I help you if the Lord doesn't help you? Do you think that I can give you some bread, some wheat, or a bottle of wine or something? My cupboard's empty like yours. And he ripped his coat. He was so mad to think the situation got to this. And by the way, it says that when he tore his clothes, the people saw that he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. In other words, he was in mourning. Even the king, a desperate situation. What was anybody going to do? They were beginning to die. The life was so difficult. The siege of Samaria. You can find all the details in chapter 6 of 2 Kings and so on. But the strange thing is this. There was a very surprising announcement made by Elisha. Right in this strange, terrible situation. Elisha the prophet, he comes out and he says, I tell you something. Tomorrow, about the very time that I'm standing here, you will be able to buy a bag of flour for maybe 20 cents in their money, shekels and so on. And he said, you'll be able to buy a sack of barley for about the same amount of money. Things are going to be available and cheap tomorrow. They must have thought he was crazy. As a matter of fact, the prime minister, or whoever he was, the man next to the king anyway, it says the man upon whom the king leaned, I guess one of his counselors, he said, ha, listen to that old preacher. God might as well make a door and a window in heavenness. Listen to him. That can't possibly happen. And Elisha said, well, sir, you will see it happen, but you won't get a mouthful of the food. You see, there were believers and there were unbelievers, as there are today. Now, by the way, the king blamed Elisha for the troubles. He said, if I can get hold of Elisha, I'll cut his head off. Elisha was a little bit disturbed by that, but he still trusted in the Lord and got on with his work. Anyway, something else happened. A great salvation. Outside the city, there were four leprous men. Now, they were in a rather desperate situation. I mean, if the city was under siege and there was no food much in the city, can you imagine what it was like outside? Maybe they had to go to the garbage dump and rake around and find just a few things to keep them going. There were four of them together. And they said, well, this is crazy. We're out here. And we're going to die. If we go into the city, there's no food, so we'll die there. Why don't we go to the enemy camp outside? There's just a chance that somebody may throw us some scraps, some food. In any case, if they don't, we'll die. So we'll die in the city, we'll die here, we'll die there. So, okay, not much hope, but let's give it a shot. And as the day wore on and dusk fell, these four lepers apparently went towards the besieging army camp. And on the edge of the camp, to their surprise, the tent they first visited was empty. Nobody in it. There was food there. And so they went to the next tent. Same thing again. And the next one. And in fact, they found that the camp had been vacated. Nobody was there. There were horses, animals, food, clothes. can sort of imagine the scene. They could hardly believe their eyes. But anyway, they sat down, had a good meal. First good meal they'd had for ages. And they went to the next tent, had another. I guess they were really getting loaded. But then they said to each other, you know what? We aren't doing what's right. Here we are, stuffing ourselves, feeding, and the people inside the city are dying, hungry, in famine. We do not well if we hold our peace, if we keep quiet and go on feeding here. This is a day of good news. Let's tell them. God has acted. Something's happened. There's food. Well, of course, what had happened during the night, God had caused that Syrian army to hear all sorts of strange noises. They heard hundreds of chariots and they heard thousands of soldiers coming. It was all sort of just something God had put into their minds, and they took off. They fled. They said, something's happened. The army of Israel has hired people to come from Egypt and other places to help them, and we're doomed. And they took off, and the whole camp was empty. A day of salvation. And these four lepers realized what a lot of Christians unfortunately don't realize. That this is a day of good news and we keep our mouths shut. They went to share the good news with other people. That's what we have to do, don't we? We are called to share the good news. There can't be any better news than this, that Jesus died to save sinners. And that's the message the world needs today. Wonder what would happen as we drove along today, along Mackenzie. There were dozens and dozens of signs with people's names on them. They were advertising themselves, of course. Wonder what would happen if one day we got out, say, a couple of hundred signs and we stuck them all along Mackenzie saying, come to Westview Gospel Chapel and hear the good news. I'm sure somebody would be down on us like a ton of bricks. They don't like that. But it is a day of good news, friends. There couldn't be any better news for sinners like us than to know that Jesus died to save us, surely. And that if you trust in him, you are guaranteed a destiny with him in glory. What a blessing that will be. Your sins forgiven. No judgment, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who believed in the Savior. That's great news. And God is on our side. God is for us. Who can be against us? Well, what happens? Well, first of all, of course, the skeptics have something to say. Even the king himself, when he heard this, he said, oh, I know what's going on. Those Syrians are pretty crafty. They've vacated the camp. They've left their tents so that we will come out because we're all so desperately hungry, and we'll be feeding on their food, and then they'll all come back and destroy us. Oh, no. That's just a fairy tale. But some of the other people in the city had more brains, more sense, and they said, but king, we've just got a couple of horses left here. Most of them have been eaten, but we've still got a few. Let's send somebody to see if it really is true. Well, sure enough, they send a couple of horses and chariots, and they go all the way across the fields, and there's nobody. There's a whole bunch of junk. It says that they went as far as the River Jordan, and if you look on a map, that's a long way. And all the way along, there was stuff scattered in the fields. There was clothes and equipment, and I guess looked like maybe your bedroom when you left it this morning. But what a mess. But they enjoyed seeing the abundance. And it says that the people took the loot. They enjoyed food. They enjoyed new clothes. After all, month after month after month, things had been wearing out. And he said, all this stuff. You see, God had intervened. God had showed that you don't have to trust in princes or in power or in equipment or in armies or in anything man-made. You can trust in the Lord. When the moment comes that he's going to act in deliverance, the blessing comes. This day is a day of salvation. We do not well if we hold our peace, if we keep our mouth shut and don't share it. That's not a good thing. What a story this is. Here were four men who I'm sure wouldn't have been allowed into the social life of the city after all. They had this disease, whatever it was, leprosy it's called, and people were scared to death. In fact, a leper in those days had to go along, and if he saw somebody else approaching, he had to say, I'm a leper! I'm a leper! Or some other word like that. Everybody kept away. And these four guys, who had been ostracized by society, they were the ones that brought the good news of deliverance and salvation to the city of Samaria. In the Bible, of course, leprosy is often viewed as a picture of sin. Sin which separates us from God, separates people from each other. But the amazing thing, that although we are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, through trusting in the Lord Jesus, we can be cleansed, we can be made new people, and we can be given a new heart, a new ambition, a new outlook, new desires, and we can be equipped as messengers of the good news of Jesus. What a blessing. Take a look at our world today. It doesn't look exactly ideal, does it? I mean, it's a beautiful place where every prospect pleases, the hymn says, and only man is vile. And boy, are we ever seeing that today. All across the various countries of the world, there seem to be problems. Here are people by the million fleeing from their own countries. Syria, for example. Countries in Africa. And Europe doesn't know what to do with them. Canada doesn't know what to do. The United States doesn't know. Thousands and thousands of people coming every day, fleeing for their lives from places of desolation like Samaria was in ancient times. Well, there's war, rumors of war. There's Israel and the Arabs at loggerheads again, almost ready to go to war. Oh yeah, what a place. But we have good news, and what an opportunity, wherever they come from, to share the good news of the Lord Jesus. This day is a day of good tidings. Maybe we need this same change to take place in our hearts. You may feel pretty self-sufficient. You may say, well, I've got everything I need. I've got nice home, nice family. I've got plenty of food. I've got plenty of money. I've got, what else do I need? Well, if you don't have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you sure need him. You need to recognize that no matter how well equipped you feel yourself to be, without knowing the Lord Jesus, you are poor indeed. You know, there was a church talked about in the book of Revelation. And they said, we've got everything. We've got money. We're one of the great medical centers of the world. We've got clothes. And the Lord comes to the church in that city. It was called Laodicea. And he says, you are poor and you are blind and you are naked. The only way that you're going to get equipped is to open the door and let me in. Now, he's not particularly talking about opening the door of our life, but he's talking about opening the door of the church to let him in. Imagine. The Lord is outside. And so often that's the case today, isn't it? You can go to church and hear anything in many places except the true gospel of the Lord Jesus, the Word of God. And that's the message we have. And that's the privilege we have of telling the world that Jesus has come to save them. Somebody has said, the heart of the gospel is one beggar telling other beggars where there is food. The Lord Jesus Christ, the very bread of life, not only the bread of life, but the living bread who can bring life to us who are dead in trespasses and sins. The need is great, but the gospel is greater. And if we had read an earlier story in this tale of Elisha, we would have seen that he was with one of his servants in this city, and it was surrounded. It was another city, actually. And the servant looked at all the enemies around him, and he said, "Oh, my Lord, what are we going to do? We're never going to get out of this mess." And Elisha just prayed. He said, "Lord, open the young man's eyes." And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw that there were hosts of the Lord surrounding them. And the message is, of course, they that are for us are more than they that are for them. We can trust in the Lord. He is faithful. That's what we were singing about in that hymn. So reflect on this story. Read it over. Enjoy it. This story of Elisha, the man of God. The man who was available wherever God needed him. Who was prepared to be a slave of Elijah, his predecessor. You remember? It says that he poured water on the hands of Elijah. That means that he was his servant, his slave, willing to do anything. But he was the man of God. And God was able to use him in his generation to bring about miraculous changes in the nation. You know, God can do that with any one of us. God can use you to be effective in your particular segment of society. Maybe in school, university, and work, in the office. Wherever it is, you can be God's means of blessing. Remember the story last week about the little girl? Here she was, far from home, a slave in the house of Naaman. But she opened her mouth and shared good news, and God used her in blessing. God can do great things with small people. You know, the problem is sometimes the work of God is hindered because we have too big an opinion of ourselves. That's what the Bible says. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Elisha is a great example of a man who had tremendous gift and potential, but he was prepared simply to be a servant of the Lord. And in a way, of course, that is a picture of the Lord Jesus himself. When he came to earth, he didn't come with pomp and splendor and power, but he came as a baby. He came as a servant. He said to his disciples, who were quarreling one day, saying, "I'm the greatest." "No, you aren't. I'm the greatest." "No, I'm the greatest." He said, "Listen, the Son of Man came not to be waited on, to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Wow. We heard it this morning, didn't we? Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself. He became obedient even to the point of dying on a cross in order that he might save us. There are many, many lovely titles of the Lord Jesus. This one isn't in the Bible, as far as I know, but it's in a little chorus that we sing. They call Jesus the servant king. That's what he was. He is a king, but he has come to serve and to seek and to save that which is lost. In a sense, we're like those people in Samaria. We're hemmed in. There's no way out, humanly speaking, spiritually. But God can do great things and deliver us, bring us into the blessing of his salvation. And when he does, remember those four men. This is a day of good news. Let's open our mouths and tell the world that Jesus lives. It's a great message, isn't it? Couldn't beat it. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that these Old Testament stories, indeed these Bible stories generally, have much to say to us about life today. They challenge us as Christians to open our mouths, to live the life that is a good witness for our Savior. Sometimes we're rather shy and perhaps fearful, and we hold back. But let's be those who, when the opportunity comes, speak a word for the Lord. This is a day of good news, and we aren't doing a good thing if we keep our mouths shut. Lord, we pray that we may be challenged by this story as believers. And if we haven't come to the place of trusting in Christ, may we do that even today. Realize that, yes, this is the best news we'll ever hear. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to receive it and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who can save us. So we just pray that this little meditation may sink down deep into our hearts, and may your Holy Spirit use it to challenge us, to make us the kind of people who are like Elisha, ready and willing to go anywhere, to do anything for you, and to share with any person we meet. Lord, we just commit it all to you and pray that your name will be honored. We pray especially for this assembly here in Westview Gospel Chapel. Lord, may this place be a shining light, a lighthouse for you in this needy community. And may the good news go out from here and change this very community. You are able to do it, Lord. And we just make ourselves available again for your service. And we thank you so much for saving us from our sin and giving us a hope in a hopeless world. And this reminds us again to pray for this election that will be happening tomorrow. We pray, Lord, you will just raise up your people, give us wisdom, and help us to be in your will, and may your will be done in Canada, this land of privilege, and yet a land of great responsibility, where many have hardened their hearts, turned away from you, and are pursuing things which are contrary to your word. Lord, visit our land, we pray. Grant us an outpouring of your Spirit. We pray for our own city of Victoria. It would be so wonderful, Lord, to see a work of grace in this place, to know the wonderful power of the renewing of the Holy Spirit among your people. And then the gospel will go out in power. So, Lord, these are just some of our desires and prayers. We commit each other into your care. We pray for the boys and girls who are enjoying their Sunday school lesson. Give wisdom, we pray, to their teachers. bless their parents especially. Lord, bless the families in this church, we pray. May your name be honored.